America's Cannabis Conversation. Heard every Saturday at 4:20 p.m. online at americascannabisconversation.com. We're part of the W420 Radio Network, and each week we provide you with information, education, and insight into the exploding medical and recreational cannabis industry. You'll hear from industry leaders, elected officials, local experts, detractors, and more. Learn how to build your own cannabis business, how to grow the product, what's legal, and where it's legal. Tune in each week to hear updates from the National Cannabis Industry Association in Washington, tips on investing in cannabis markets, personal success stories, and more. It's now time to join America's Cannabis Conversation. Here's 420 lifestyle correspondent Rich Walkoff.
Oh, the evolution of the cannabis consumption. Boy, old school guys, we go back to the pipes and the papers, and that was pretty much it. Nowadays, you've got vapes and extracts, oil, wax, dabbing, tinctures, edibles, topical balms, and folks, try drinking your High Time experience. That's the latest and greatest, and let's welcome in co-founders from Wonder, the cannabis-infused sparkling beverage, Alexi Chialtis and Phil McGar. Guys, congratulations on this great new product. I've experienced your watermelon wave, your lemon ginger lift, and your blood orange bliss. You guys are rocking it. Really awesome stuff.
Thank you, Rich. It's great to be here. We're excited to talk about everything that is all Wonder.
Yeah, well, Wonder with a W-U-N-D-R, and I guess that, you know, a little twist on that. But it's 2 milligrams of THC, 2 milligrams of Delta-8, and 4 milligrams of CBD. So, Phil, tell me why that's your formula.
Yeah, so we spent a good 6 to 9 months sort of thinking and working on the right formulation. And there's a lot of different compounds in the cannabis plant. We wanted to exploit novel, what are called novel cannabinoids. And so our first formulation, we along with our other co-founder, Christian Peterson, came up with this idea of really mimicking alcohol in a drink. And so to do that, we wanted the psychoactivity or the buzz from Delta-9 THC, which is the most common cannabinoid. We wanted to use CBD, which is a modulator, which helps downregulate and relax some of the effects of Delta-9. If anyone's had anxiety or if they've had too much THC, CBD is a good modulator for that. And then another compound, which is sort of a cousin to Delta-9 THC, is Delta-8 THC. And it's about half of the psychoactivity of Delta-9, so it doesn't get you as high, but it really puts you in your body. It really gives you this in-your-body feeling, which is great for either activities like yoga or being outside on a hike or chilling and relaxing at home.
Now, you talk about 8 ounces, 50 calories, low glycemic index, and obviously natural stuff. So indica, sativa, does it vary in your drinks?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that the strains are really interesting in thinking about the flower world. And the way that we think about it from a beverage perspective is, it was as Phil described it, it's this really well-rounded experience. It's not too much of a head high, but it also has the Delta-8, which helps to bring in the body relaxation. So it's a great hybrid, I think, is the way to think about mm-hmm. that.
Now, unlike edibles or other means of ingesting marijuana, this is going to, you won't have to wait an hour or two to feel the effects. So talk about that aspect of it in terms of the delivery system.
Yeah, no. So we're in the early days of figuring out beverages. We really quickly realized that it was going to take the right partners, the right collaborators to build this category together. And so we were lucky to find and to know the Virtuosa team, Ben and Harold, who had been working on the technology front of figuring out how do we make beverages more like alcohol in terms of the way that it's onset and offset? So how long does it take for somebody to start feeling it, and how long is that experience? And what beverages brings and what they've actually ended up providing is that you can start to feel it in as little as 15 minutes. Whereas in an edible, that can be up to 60 to 90 minutes before you start to feel it. And then that actual experience of feeling the effects can be several hours in some cases. And when you think about the social experience, and when you think about beverages and alcohol, and if you're trying to mimic that experience, it really needs to come up and start feeling it sooner, and then it also needs to offset sooner. And so with the technology, we've been able to accomplish that.
Yeah. So now it's available only in California as we speak.
That's right. We're available all across California. It's a regulated, it has Delta 9, so it's a regulated cannabis product. We're available. Do you want me to say where it's available?
Sure.
It's available on the Ease platform, on Sava in the Bay Area. It's available on MJ in LA, along with a ton of great retailers. We picked really tier one retailers in both the Bay Area and LA and elsewhere. So Apothecarium in San Francisco, Soulful up in Napa and Sonoma area. So if you're up there, and then Calma Green Goddess down in LA as well.
Okay. And what about the pricing? And we think of going to a bar, having a beer for $8 or $10, a pint and maybe a glass of wine being $12. Where does the 8-ounce can of Wonder, the cannabis infused drink, come into play?
So for a 4-pack, it's roughly $22. And we're always fighting to get the price down. So as we scale, we're gonna get the price down for everyone.
Now, I've also seen that major alcohol industry players are coming into the cannabis infused drink beverage part of the business. It's the fastest growing business in California, 40% growth in the last year compared to 38% growth in the cannabis legal sales. So actually exceeding the flower and the edibles aspect of it. But you've got Heineken and Constellation Brands putting billions of dollars. But you guys are more the artisan, or we could call it the boutique player.
Yeah, no, that's right. We're decidedly homegrown. We've invested a lot of our own capital into this. We've had the support of friends, family, and now angel investors. But also the big players are starting to take notice. It's not... You know, every few weeks we're getting pinged by, the big either alcohol companies that want to learn about what we see in the market, how we're approaching it. You know, at the end of the day, we're the tip of the spear. The big alcohol companies or the big cannabis companies, you know, they can't use massive economies of scale because the market's so fragmented, whether it's either by a state-by-state basis. And so what we try to focus on is how do we deliver a great experience in an authentic way. Through connecting with our audience by what our brand stands for, because our brand is much more than just a pretty image. And at the end of the day, consumers really care about the whole package.
Right. Now, the original marketing was for the 2 milligrams of THC in an 8-ounce can of your Blood Orange Bliss, your Lemon Ginger Lift, and your Watermelon Wave. But new things on the horizon, Phil.
Yeah. So we recently just launched a... We recently just launched a new line of drinks, which is aimed at the a heavier consumer. So the people that are smoking, they either have a high tolerance or they're looking for more of a kick. And so if you think about our drinks, they're great. They're low calorie, low sugar. But if you need to have, 10, 15, 20 milligrams to get you high, do you really want to, have all that sugar? No. So we listened and responded, and we've got a new product called Higher Vibes, or Wonder 20, which is the strongest single serving drink in the California market right now. We use 10 milligrams of Delta 9 THC, 10 milligrams of Delta 8 THC, and it's in all three of our great flavors, watermelon, lemon ginger, and blood orange.
Yeah. So how about the growth? How's it been for you guys? You launched in the fourth quarter of 2020. What timing in that ever forgettable and regrettable year? But maybe people need this more than ever.
Yeah, I mean, I think similar to alcohol during the pandemic, alcohol has taken off, but so has cannabis. And then within cannabis, I think you've seen a big shift over the year as people really think about, how they're treating their body. And so where we've seen that manifest is that people have moved from smokables to edibles, and that also edibles, such as beverages, are very approachable for the new consumer. And so that's been a trend that's already been in flux or in flight since before the pandemic. But like all things with the pandemic, it just really got accelerated. And so what we've seen since our launch in October of last year is that it's really uptake. It's really been well received, even so received well received by consumers, that we're actually seeing, really strong month over month growth sequentially in some of our best retailers. And to make the cherry on top with the High Times Cannabis Cup, we just won third place in over 100 different beverage submissions. And we were the top ranked ready-to-drink beverage. And that just means a lot for us, as we've really been validated by a much larger group of people.
Mm-hmm. So this is exciting times for you guys. What has been the buzz around your friends and your community? That was a double entendre intended, the buzz in the community. What's the feedback you've been getting about your product? And are you taking that to heart? If people say it's to this or to that, I want this, I prefer it more this way.
Yeah, we definitely listen for feedback all the time, and we share it internally. And it's amazing. We're getting incredible feedback from across the state. And I think, you know, for us, the feedback that really, at least for me personally, that gives me chills and is when people can, they say, like, I got a message this morning. I'm off alcohol because of you guys. I think those moments, or when someone's using it to treat an illness, especially during the pandemic, like, so many people were leaning on alcohol. And so to hear that people are using our drink to have a healthier relationship with themselves and create health and wellness, I think it's amazing to hear that. I think it gives us chills. It's why we started this company. Mm-hmm. This is a very personal mission for all of the co-founders, Christian, Alexi, and I. So yeah, the feedback's been tremendous.
Yeah, I mean, just to echo that, it's you know, it's not a day that goes by where I don't get an email or a picture of somebody not only either enjoying Wonder by themselves, but sharing it. And what we've found is that it's so novel, it's so fresh, it's so different, it's so great tasting. And with the Delta 8, it just really adds another dimension. And people are just bringing it to, you know, whenever they meet people, whether it's people, you know, meeting together in a socially distant way, they're bringing some drinks for people to have at the park or to have over an outdoor gathering. So we can't just wait to see what happens this summer, because I think everyone's ready to get vaccinated and to continue to relive their social lives.
Right. And you pointed out to me before our interview that many consumers are combining alcohol and cannabis-infused drinks, as well as taking the path that Phil pointed out in lieu of alcohol, taking the cannabis-infused drinks as a different option. But talk about how those come into play.
Yeah, so, you know, our intention with Wonder was really to allow people to drink less. And I don't think it's always so black and white as I don't think any of us feel that it's so black and white that you're either drinking alcohol or you're not, and you're on one side of the fence or the other. And for us, it's about meeting people where they're at. And Wonder, you know, I think there's a BDS stat that said that of the people who consume cannabis and alcohol, you know, 50% of them consume both in the same occasion. And so with our formulation, we took that to heart and we really thought about what could live in that occasion where somebody else is also, you know, potentially imbibing in that way. And, you know, Delta 8 that's another reason why Delta 8 was a great ingredient. And you know, to each their own, and technically we're not supposed to, we don't endorse people doing both as a brand. That's you know, the California regulations keep us in that way.
Cool. And if we want to find you online and learn more about your product?
Yeah, we're at Find Wonder, both findwonder.com and then also on Instagram. We appreciate all the follows. We think we have a pretty beautiful Instagram page. And feel free to communicate with us too. You know, hit us up in the DMs. As they say, we love communicating with people, answering questions or helping them on their journey with us. So.
Well, it's awesome stuff. I'm a new convert, hadn't had a cannabis infused drink before I tried your Wonder, and it was dynamite. So congratulations to you both, co-founders of Wonder, the cannabis infused sparkling beverage, Alexi Chialtis and Phil McGar. Best of luck to you guys. Rich Walkoff on the W420 Radio Network. And if you missed this interview or parts of it and want to hear it again, go to W420RadioNetwork.com archive. We'll be right back.
You're listening to America's Cannabis Conversation on W420RadioNetwork.com. Are you interested in learning more about cannabis? Have you thought about starting your own cannabis business but don't know how? If so, we invite you to join the cannabis conversation with other people like you who are looking at the exciting opportunities in this exploding business. Listen to America's Cannabis Conversation. You'll hear from industry experts and get insights into the cannabis industry. For archived shows and for more information, log on to americascannabisconversation.com. It's time for Women in Cannabis on America's Cannabis Conversation, part of the W420 Radio Network.
Didn't you get the memo?
Here's Chase Roberts.
Welcome back to the conversation. This is Chase Roberts, Women in Cannabis correspondent for the W420 Radio Network. It's a pleasure to introduce
Samantha Montanaro
and Lisa Snyder, co-founders and chief executive officers of Tokativity.
Welcome. Thank you for being here.
Samantha, Lisa, welcome for being here. How are you?
Doing great.
Yeah, I'm doing great.
Hello.
Thank you so much for having us. Hello, hello.
I'm really excited to have you guys on, especially for this segment, Women in Cannabis. Where are you both from?
I'm originally from New Jersey and been living in Portland, Oregon since 2013.
And I'm from Wisconsin and lived in Chicago for my adulthood before moving to Portland in 2014.
Wow. Was there anything in your childhood history that would have predetermined this would be your path in this world?
Well, I was busted for dealing weed when I was 18.
You're like, maybe.
I was like, I love this plant. I don't care.
You said you were 18. Did you get adult charged?
I did. I ended up, you know, thanks to my white girl privilege, straight up, the whole thing was expunged eventually, but, wow. It was a felony intent to deliver and paraphernalia, misdemeanor.
How much did you have? May I ask?
I had an ounce that was baggied up. Ready for distribution.
Okay. You know what? We're going to hit on that later too, because so many records need to be expunged now. And that's such a delayed process.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah, absolutely. And where did you two meet?
We actually met at a Women Grow event in November 2015. I had come up with the idea of Tokativity, but I didn't know how and where to execute it. And so I just kept putting myself in places where I would meet other people that would might ignite like kind of the next leveling. And that's where I overheard Samantha talking about her consumption space that she had in her house that she had been hosting events for 2 years. And I was like, okay, I think that is like definitely a woman that I want to know. Yeah. And that maybe we could work together. And that's how we originally met.
Love it. And for our listeners who might not know, which I doubt, can one of you tell us what Tokativity is?
Tokativity is the global feminist community for active cannabis culture. We're a network of business owners and consumers that believe in equity and empowerment of a modern consumption culture. I know that was a lot of words. basically, Tokativity is a feminine network of plant medicine lovers who gather online and hopefully again in person soon to experience the cannabis feminist revolution that is happening. Tokativity is involved in advocacy. We are highly creative and we do a lot of creative campaigns that work to create radical change and help people think about cannabis in different ways. We have a membership that supports businesses and cannapreneurs in the space as well. We've got our little fingers and toes dipped into all different sectors of this industry.
I really love that. And what year did you guys start?
We just celebrated our 5-year anniversary. We launched on January 15th, 2017, 5 days before the inauguration of our previous president. So there was like the Me Too movement was at its height and there was a lot of woman hating energy in the air. And it was so important for us to make a space where women could feel like they could come to be more of themselves.
Amazing. This space is so necessary. And it's interesting. A recent report from MJ Biz Daily found that women are now leaving the industry. There was a peak and now they're leaving again. So this space really is valuable for everybody. I did want to go a little into your backstory. So Lisa, you're both very accomplished. You're the chief innovation officer at Tokativity, but you've also, you're the co-creator of Bridges, which I want to ask you about shortly. But you've done a lot of interesting work. You're one of the board members at Sweet Jane Magazine, and you've been in this movement a long time. Can you tell me what was your personal draw to this industry?
Well, both of my parents died of cancer when I was in my 20s. And when my mom was on her deathbed, I tried to get her access to cannabis, or what I thought I could, you know, cannabis pills. I just didn't understand what I could access. So I just asked for whatever I could get, and I couldn't get anything, and nobody took me seriously. And I started to meet people who had actually healed themselves from cancer and other diseases. And it really became apparent to me that that cannabis is a healing tool. And if more people had access to it, that more people might be able to heal from diseases like cancer. And so I began a journey on, I don't know how I'm going to personally heal cancer, but me showing up and creating more access, centering women. I'm a feminist and I care very deeply about women's liberation, and combining that with the liberation of self-healing and the self-healing movement. So I still to this day, like, wake up every day thinking about my parents and how this work of women's liberation through cannabis is assisting in some direct or indirect way in healing, personal healing, and also healing disease like cancer.
Yeah. And by the way, I'm very sorry for your losses. And it is a real shame when people need medicinal marijuana, they can't access it, or they're having issues getting to it. I don't know if you know who Wayne Jessman is, but he lives here in the Bay Area, and he was the first one to get a medical marijuana card here in San Francisco, like eons ago. And he was the one, you know, one of the true, you know, forerunners in trying to make this happen, which I think is so valuable. And for you, Samantha, what was your personal kind of draw to this space?
Yeah, I mean, I was definitely a love at first toke as a teenager. Like I said, I was like, I love you, cannabis. I love you, like, immediately. And, but as I got older, started having side effects from scoliosis, and I was diagnosed with osteoarthritis in my neck. And I was dealing with a lot of back and neck issues. And when I left Chicago, the only place I wanted to move was anywhere where I could get access to medical cannabis, because I heard about topicals. And I, you know, although I was a big weed smoker, I actually found sometimes smoking weed exacerbated my pain with my neck. And I was like, I'm very curious about trying other things. When I moved out to Oregon, I was already, you know, really just in and pumped about, cannabis was legalized like few months after I moved here. But I got my medical card right away, and topicals literally changed my flipping life. I was in the least amount of pain I had been in about a decade, and started, this is why I love cannabis so much. Like Lisa was saying, cannabis not only actively helps our bodies heal, but in my opinion, it awakens the spirit and the empowerment of I can heal myself, and my choices do affect how my body heals or doesn't heal. And I felt like that moment, it just like busted that wall down for me. I literally started running. I started working out. I started eating healthier. It was just like a domino effect for me of like
lifestyle.
Yes. Like really changing my entire life with it. So I'm just obsessed. It's my favorite plant. I like can't get enough of it. And
are you still using topicals?
Oh, hells yeah. Every single day. I mean, now it's just a regular part of my daily routine. And my neck pain, I actually like, I should go back to the doctor, because I did go back at one point and they didn't see any arthritis.
Wow.
In my neck. So that's really interesting. Like, I was 19 when I was diagnosed and I'm 38 now. So like, after now almost a decade of putting topicals on my neck every single day, like there has been regeneration in that area, and I don't deal with the issues I used to deal with. So
that's amazing.
It's incredible.
I'm really looking forward. You know, we all know for the medical community, I mean, America is so used to big pharma and being told what to take, basically. But I'm excited to see how doctors move forward with this new community, you know, nationwide, because a lot of doctors originally didn't want to associate certain recovery processes or recovery with the use of medical marijuana, even though it was medical. So I think over time, there'll be more definitives. Like, for this, you can use this. It's proven, it's scientifically backed up to work. And mm-hmm. I'm hoping those white papers will be written, because I think it's valuable. I mean, you're like a prime example of someone who used it. It did its job.
Yeah.
I want to shout out Real Realm of Caring, because you said that, like, you hope one day that there, I don't know exactly what you said, but you hope one day that there's, like, you know, access to, like, this information and, like, what kind of things. They're based in Colorado, and they actually have an entire database of patients and ailments and strains. Wow. And they actually, for free, will do matchmaking for you or your family member, whoever contacts them and needs that help. It's like kind of the thing that we've all been trying to do ourselves.
Yeah. No, Lisa, I'm so glad you mentioned that. What was the name of that for our listeners?
Realmofcaring.org.
Okay. Definitely a good resource for everyone.
Yeah, for sure.
And going back, Samantha, I noticed you're a proponent of small business. You are on a board, you know, president of Historic Park Rose, executive board of Venture Portland. Both are nonprofits. And I realized in your business too, you guys support a lot of nonprofits. I looked at some of the ones you support: Last Prisoner Project, Ethical Cannabis Alliance, Black Feast. You offer a portion of your proceeds to these nonprofits. Can you tell me more about that arm of what you're doing at Tokativity?
Oh, absolutely. Literally, since our inception, we've donated a portion of proceeds to nonprofits that we care about. And, you know, as women in this world, we're a mission-based organization, but as women and as businesswomen, Lisa and I are both businesswomen. We're both freelancers doing business independently. I was doing graphic design and event planning and business management. Lisa was doing web design and still has her own web business for like 20 years now. And, you know, I think that, okay, capitalism is like, we have such a love-hate relationship with it, right? Like, you know,
I agree.
Americans love buying stuff.
Yes.
but it's like a result of us being told we like to buy stuff. I don't know. So Lisa and I are like really excited for Tokativity. You know, again, we made the choice for it to be a for-profit business. We had the discussion about us being a nonprofit, and we felt that we could better do our work of literally disrupting capitalism and prioritizing marginalized communities and, you know, not prioritizing profits over people, planet, and plant. We do believe that ethical businesses can do amazing work. And this isn't just some belief system. This has been proven over and over and over. So from the internal workings of our organization to the external relations of like who we work with or who we donate to or blah, 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 this can all work together in a really beautiful way, we think, to disrupt the like gross, you know, predatory practices.
Greedy.
Yeah. of a lot of large businesses. And,
absolutely.
You know, how do we do that? Well, we do that by moving dollars. So like, you know, with Tokativity events, at every checkout, for any of our events, which can be found at tokativity.com/events, we have digital events happening right now, a whole bunch of them, 3 per month. And with any of them, you can you know, not only buy a link to sponsor the event and, you know, and support the women and the artists and the people who are making our events happen, but you can also select nonprofits that maybe you identify with or that you care about. You know, fundraising is, it's all about who you know, and nonprofits need support. Cannabis can be, the cannabis industry can be an amazing support system for nonprofits that don't even have anything to do with cannabis. You know, we've donated to, I mean, I remember, I love the picture that pops up in my memories sometimes of Lisa and I. We did a drive for, you know, feminine products, and we, at one of our socials, and then the two of us actually brought this, like, just tons and tons of, you know, pads and tampons and things to a local women's shelter. And it just feels really good as for the cannabis industry, I think, to show up in that way. It, cannabis is a restorative and regenerative industry. It has to be. This is what cannabis does. It works to create balance. And I really believe that it's here in the business world to create balance in capitalism as well.
It's so necessary. I think America in general is a little askew. Like, I think capitalism served its purpose at one point. I think it's kind of an outdated mode.
Yeah,
we won't get into that.
We're in late stage capitalism. So what does it look like? It looks like redefining how we do business. You know, it looks like envisioning something different.
I wanted to draw attention to Samantha's support of other nonprofits that are non-cannabis, because you as a cannabis representative being on other boards gives cannabis a voice in other places. And I really want to encourage other people to get involved. If you're, you know, not necessarily in the cannabis industry, but also beyond that, because then you become a voice that is cannabis friendly, and we need more of those voices.
Yeah. And right now, as we all know, the nonprofit world during COVID, post, you know, wherever we're at in the COVID chain of things, really needs some love and help. The money is not coming in like it used to. So
yeah, I mean,
it's valuable support.
Yeah. And I think it depends. Like, you know, my work is actually, I started working with Historic Park Rose because I bought a home in this neighborhood and I have a child who goes to school here. And it's like, I want this neighborhood to be successful. And there's an allocation of tax dollars that supports this nonprofit, and actually a lack of people who will give time and energy to help the people in need get this. So you'd be surprised. So just to the listeners today, you know, look into things that you're interested in, or that you have you have a personal interest in. That's okay to have a personal interest in. It's what makes you connect with the nonprofit. But there are a lot of nonprofits that, I mean, honestly, for us right now, we have money that needs to be spent. We honestly need, like, more volunteers and more people to help it get out there. So, but like Lisa said, it's amazing to be a cannabis friendly voice, because, you know, the drug war and therefore racism is, like, rampant in all communities, and being able to show up with that lens and that voice, it really normalizes cannabis for people. You are then the door. You know, the number of people through my nonprofit work that have then been like, hey, so, like, I actually went into dispensary and I felt so overwhelmed. And I'm like, I'm going to ask this, like, young kid what weed I should be smoking. Like, no, I literally walked out. You know, I've heard these stories time and time again. So, you can end up being a personal reference for somebody of, like, okay, first of all, go to this dispensary. Second of all, try these products. You're going to, you know, this is a good place for you to start as a beginner, right? Like, you become a doorway into more empowered cannabis use. So it's amazing to see how this all works together.
Knowledge is power, as they say.
Sure is.
And, you know, you mentioned you do three events a month, but I did want to go into more for our listeners if they're interested. What are some of the projects and events you are working on? I noticed you did something on Clubhouse, and then I did watch you have a YouTube channel. There's a lot of interesting stuff over there. So if you can tell me about some of your events and projects specifically that you're having this year, that would be amazing.
Yes. So we have historically had a monthly event. When we were doing in-person things, we had the Tokativity Social, which is kind of what it sounds like. And we've really translated that in a really beautiful way into the digital. I know there's been a lot of people who are kind of like over Zoom and stuff. This is not on Zoom. This is like actually in an interactive online event space where there's a lot going on, almost as if you're walking around a house or a, you know, business conference, a kind of combination of like soft way in between here and there. And we've have, our monthly socials, which are themed, and I can share with you some of our upcoming events. We have our Love Yourself More Tokativity Social Recenter, kind of what it sounds like, loving yourself more and self-care. Our Psychedelics and Plant Medicine Tokativity Social in March, our Flower Power Social in April, our Cannamom Social in May, and our Pride and Equity Social in June. And then we have some ramp up events to those socials. We have our Members of the Movement, which is on our Instagram Live, and Samantha leads that. And then our Clubhouse Roundtables, which we have the week before the events, and they're really centered around the theme of the month. So it's been so fun and exciting to like meet so many amazing people from around the globe. That's been like one of the best gifts of COVID, has been us being able to expand even further and support our global community as we get to know women in these different jurisdictions and actually really help each other out, either personal growth or the professional growth that is happening by the connections and the work we're all doing together.
Yeah. And it's just going to get bigger and better over time. Unfortunately, our time is out. That went so quick. I would love to have you both back on in the future, but thank you so much for being here. And what are the socials our listeners can find you on?
We're on all things as Tokativity, T-O-K-E-ativity.
All right. Love it. Thank you so much for being here. If you missed any of this great interview, you can go to W420RadioNetwork.com and click on the archive section to listen to this and other great interviews. And we'll be right back.
America's newest and fastest growing cannabis-focused radio network is expanding across the country and looking to add to our sales and marketing team. America's Cannabis Conversation offers listeners insight and information on the exploding world of cannabis. It also gives advertisers the opportunity to reach a hyper-targeted audience, literally neighborhood by neighborhood, in markets all across the country. We're looking for a few motivated individuals that want to essentially run their own local business. To learn more about this exciting opportunity or to apply, visit americascannabisconversation.com.
Welcome to The Conversation. I'm your host, David Katzmeier. Today, we'll be speaking about the expanding world of CBD oils. This brings us to Laughing Frogs Nutraceuticals, and this week's special guest, Christopher Hay, is CEO of Whitechapel Holdings Company, which is doing business as Laughing Frogs, selling health and wellness products with a specialty in high-quality, all-organic CBD oil, which can be seen at laughingfrogs.com. Chris has an extensive background in marketing in Silicon Valley with such clients as Intel, as well as a background in the financial solutions industry, which has been his entree point into the world of cannabis and CBD oil. Chris, along with Mitchell Rabin and other colleagues, has been building the Laughing Frogs brand for a few years, and they're always interested in collaborating partners, investment partners, and the like. Whitechapel Holdings also has a publicly traded entity as well, so there is an opportunity here for substantial expansion. Whitechapel also has a presence in Australia, known as Whitechapel Australia, which provides Laughing Frogs with a unique superfruit. Laughing Frogs has an exclusive on this for North America distribution, in addition to their CBD oil line. Mitchell Rabin is host and producer of A Better World Media and Promotions. He has an extensive background in holistic health and in wellness and eco-oriented businesses. Mitchell Rabin interviews the sung and unsung heroes of society, as well as thought leaders in science, business, politics, environmentalists, progressive economics, and the arts. Mitchell is an investor and partner in Whitechapel Holdings and works closely with Chris in building the company and brand. Mitchell's array of activities can be seen at abetterworld.net. Mitchell and Christopher, I thank you for joining the conversation. To begin, Mitchell Rabin, would you like to introduce this week's special guest, Christopher Hay of Whitechapel Holdings? Mitchell?
It would be my pleasure, David Katzmeier. Truly my pleasure, and it's good to see you and hear you again. Mm-hmm. Chris, I love dealing with you. I love what you're up to with CBD oil and this particular quality of CBD oil. And the market has grown and has actually been flooded in many ways over the past several years, but still Laughing Frogs has its own distinctions. Could you just talk a little bit about what those are and why it stands out in the field?
Yeah, of course. And thanks for having me, Mitchell. Always good to talk to you. Laughing Frogs really started as a company that had a focus on health and wellness, particularly for seniors. And the great thing about CBD is that it has the ability to be able to really, really help with those issues that seniors most frequently have to deal with. Certainly things like stress, emotional distress, joint pain, the whole sort of arthritis type of complaint, sleeplessness, which is invariably brought on by stress. And so when we started out, we spent a lot of time working with chemists on building proprietary mixtures for our CBD, our formulations, to address these issues. We also made them into sprays because there are, with seniors, issues about taking pills, taking hard pills, the swallowing process. With our sprays, you spray under the tongue. And we also have soft gels as well. But primarily, that was our mission to start with. It really was a focus on health and wellness, and particularly trying to help our seniors.
You know, I love that, Chris, because what companies actually address the needs of our elderly? Not enough of them, unless you're a drug company. And here we are with a non-drug, non-pharmaceutical solution to a lot of the problems that ail our elderly. That's not an easy phrase to say, ail our elderly, but I did.
You're absolutely right. I mean, when you actually look at the market, that space, primarily it's occupied by pharmaceutical companies. And the whole pharmaceutical side of things, which is fundamentally, I think, coming under inspection now. I think that we have much better informed and better educated folks now as customers. People are looking at what it is that they're ingesting, and rightfully so. I think the whole opioid scare, I think, really brought to people's attention the fact that a lot of these companies are not necessarily focused on your well-being. They're focused on
that was very mildly stated. Yes.
They're focused on the well-being of their bottom line. That becomes a problem. And we saw what kind of a problem that is. So, and the other thing is that CBD is truly a wonder drug. I mean, it truly, truly is. And the variations that can be achieved by working with the growers and growing strains that are specifically focused towards, for instance, CBN instead of CBD. CBN, if you pull a level of CBN out and you add it to a sleeping type of formula, you increase its potential enormously. And CBN is part of CBD. It's part of the full spectrum. So there's really a tremendous flexibility to it that you don't get with other specifically targeted either drugs or other products like that.
You know, you bring up two important areas, Chris, that I'd like you to perhaps elaborate on a little bit. One is the nature of spray, which will allow for immediate absorption into the system under the tongue, and maybe you could comment on that, as well as the proprietary quality of the Laughing Frog CBD oil, because you mix it with other nutrition. And so you're getting a truly full spectrum CBD as well as other nutrients that are part of the picture that, like, say, contribute to helping with sleep, like the use of melatonin and the like. Could you just talk a little bit about those formulas and the use of the spray and what kind of results you've seen as a result?
We chose to use the sprays. It was a fairly sort of active conversation trying to decide which direction to go. You know, there are CBD there are CBD products out there where they come to you with a dropper, and so you can just use a dropper, and you can increase or decrease, you know, the amount of use. We looked at that, and particularly with seniors, that whole dropper is difficult for some seniors because of arthritis or hands that can't really handle the bulb on that particular action. We decided on the sublingual spray because it issues exactly the same amount every time. And that way we were able to advise our customers from the outset, you know, we're recommending two sprays, three sprays as a standard. If it doesn't work for you, you can always have another. You can always add a spray. And because it delivers the same amount every time, it's very comfortable for people to understand exactly how much they're taking. Though on a sidebar, you know, you can't OD on CBD, thank God. So,
And
then the other part of it was building formulas that were primarily aimed at the issues that I talked about before. But CBD on its own, for instance, does not deal with as effective a way with, for instance, sleeplessness. So, you know, the addition of melatonin, the addition of some other natural, everything we do is natural. So with the addition of those other elements, what we were able to do was to really amplify the effects of the full spectrum that we're using, and that came as a tremendous help, because the feedback that we've got from customers, for instance, with the pain product, is absolutely terrific, and the fact that somebody is able to really regulate their pain without medication per se. A lot of people feel very, very comfortable with it.
That's excellent. Is there a particular story that you've heard, report, testimonial that someone has made or others over time that have completely impressed you?
Well, we had one customer that told us that she had not had a full night's sleep in a couple of years. And that she was very skeptical about our product, and she started to use it. She persevered, and every night she got more sleep. And in talking to her, one of the reasons I believed is that what she was taking was not just our sleep product, but it eases stress, it reduces stress, and it really, if you're able to reduce the stress in a person, then the next thing that follows is sleep, if they're trying to sleep. And this was particularly touching, because she's an elderly lady, and like most elderly people, she needs a sleep.
Surely.
So it's
wonderful
to hear. It was It was a charming story. And
do I remember and her last name is Van Winkle?
Well, I was going to say, actually, after I talked to her, you know, I was trying to look her up, but it looked like she was born before the record. So I'm not quite sure.
I see. I was playing, of course.
It's a Sleeping Beauty story, I think.
Sleeping Beauty. You know, the other thing that is happening there, if I may say, Chris and Dave, that the adrenaline and the cortisol levels become reduced in the blood when one is taking CBD oil. And, of course, in our case, the additional nutrients that contribute to sleep. And those are two natural products in the body, but they're also toxic when they're released, when they're not needed, especially at nighttime. So the stress point that you're making is needs to be stressed, if you don't mind my saying. So I appreciate that. There's another dimension of what you're working on, Chris, that I've been seeing over the years, and of course I've worked shoulder to shoulder with you on that, is bringing in what we feel are good quality collaborative partners, joint venture partners, possibly investors, because this is such a hot area and it continues to grow, even though CBD oil has been, you know, enamored by so many people at this point in time. There are many companies out there. But when you've got something like you have helped to develop here for Laughing Frogs, it really does stand out from the mainstream. So it really does become an opportunity for entrepreneurs to turn their attention and do something pretty profitable with. You want to talk to that part of what we've got here at Laughing Frogs?
Yeah, absolutely. One of my very favorite products is that we carry is Queen Garnet Plum. And Queen Garnet is exclusive to us. In this country, it is a plum that was made basically by accident. The Queensland government, agricultural department of the Queensland government, were crossbreeding stone fruit, particularly plums, trying to breed a insect-resistant plum. And what they, after I don't know how many attempts, they came up with this extraordinary superfruit, which has more vitamin C than any known fruit of its of its kind. It is extraordinarily it's packed with all kinds of nutrients that are just not found in one package, and there they are, all in this one
major
package.
Major antioxidants.
Major, absolutely. It's really good for the gut, and people that have, you know, gut issues. It comes as a powder that you can. I use it, for instance, for a morning shake, and I mix it with a banana, and it just is great, and it also has a nectar, a juice a version, which is absolutely 100% pure a juice, which is it's thicker. It's sort of like an apricot type of thickness, the viscosity of it. But boy, oh boy, is it yummy!
I have to reiterate that. Corroborate. I mean, in New York, in Brooklyn, we say to die for. It is so good. It's so good. You don't, Dave, it's actually a problem because you don't want to stop drinking it. But you better, because
exactly.
It's a prebiotic and a probiotic. And you know where
exactly.
You'll end up if you drink too many cases of it. No, Chris, I'm playing a little bit, but it's that good. It's really that good.
Yes, it is. It absolutely is. And, of course, it's 100% natural. 100% organic. It's only grown in one place, in Australia. And, you know, so one of the great things about
working. And we have the exclusive
working,
on it for North America.
And we have the exclusive, and we have the exclusive for North America.
Yeah.
And by the way, we're looking for resellers out there. If anybody's interested, give us a call. One of the great things about working with these other countries like Australia, Madagascar, Tasmania, is these countries were basically, they were left alone for tens of thousands of years, and they developed in a completely different way than more highly trafficked, you know, Europe, America. So there are plants in Australia that only grow in Australia that offer the most extraordinary benefits. And we partnered with a science group over there and have looked at a number of these products. There's a product called Tasmanian honey, which is just extraordinary, but it's also so good for you. It just puts other honeys in the shade. And so there's any number of those. And part of our mission is really to try and bring those products, which are good, they're wholesome, they're healthful, to America. Mitchell introduced us to a colleague of his recently that is doing something with coconuts that none of us have ever seen before. And we're looking at introducing that product into Australia, you know, it's great to be able to be exposed to those types of products.
That is excellent. You know, I'm remembering that some of the people that Dave Katzmeier has told me that listen into America talking about cannabis conversations are entrepreneurs, people who are looking for opportunities to enter this kind of space, cannabis, hemp, CBD. And one of the unusual features, Dave, that we have at Laughing Frogs / Whitechapel Holdings is that we also have a public face. And there are any number of opportunities that offers, as well as being a privately held company. We're both. We're dual action, you could say. Chris, I was wondering if you could say anything about that and how that feature may interest potential investors.
As far as entrepreneurs, you know, or investors or partners, resellers, come all. This is a hugely, yes. I think, opportunity-rich environment. And what we're talking about is really using and developing products that are very, very specific and niche-driven. We would love to talk to folks about that stuff.
Gentlemen, you know, it's very interesting. A lot of guests that we had on the show have talked about the ordeals that they've gone through when they were doing startups for their CBD, for their dispensaries, for their growing businesses. And they often say they didn't realize there was so much research involved and necessary to get into these fledgling industries because these are effectively large industries. But you at Laughing Frogs, you're well established. You've done all of that. You've already got your foundation that you offer and the different products that you've developed, and some of them quite unique. And Laughing Frogs, you've certainly been leading the way with this. Mitchell, I thank you, who is a strategic partner with Laughing Frogs, as well as America's Cannabis Conversation, for being part of this conversation, because Chris Hay, CEO of Laughing Frogs, going through your website at laughingfrogs.com has been quite interesting and an education, and it's quite fascinating when you look at the unique way you bring these quality products across North America, something for us all to learn. Thank goodness for companies like Laughing Frogs and Mitchell of abetterworld.net for introducing us. We're happy to become acquainted and that you are now part of America's Cannabis Conversation. Chris Hay, Mitchell Rabin, I thank you for being on the program this week, and thank you, the listener, for being part of America's Cannabis Conversation.
Thank you for taking part in America's Cannabis Conversation. To hear this show in its entirety or to hear any of our archive shows, log on to americascannabisconversation.com and tune in for the next installment of America's Cannabis Conversation. W420RadioNetwork.com.